Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The episode of Bhajan Classroom you will be listening now was first aired on November 29, 2012 as a live program on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony as part of our Thursday live programs from the studios of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us offer our loving and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of the Lord, by whose munificence and mercy we have experienced His unmatched love and have learned to make our lives truly more meaningful and fulfilling. Dear Lord, please bless us so that come what may, we may never lose sight of Your form. Let our lips ever remember to chant Your name, and in spite of our failings, let us always strive to be exemplars of Your love and message. With this prayer, let's move on. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And in today's session, we will be learning a bhajan in which we adore Lord Sai as Lord Shiva. The lyrics of this bhajan, like most bhajans, is in the Sanskrit language. And the first line of this bhajan goes like this.
Bhola Shankara Bhola.
Yes, it is a powerful and very spirited Shiva bhajan. The Lord is revered through various names and attributes. And as I say this, there's a very beautiful anecdote that comes to my mind. Once during an interview for the Anandpur girl students, Baba asked if anyone had any doubts. So one girl student had a question. Swami, which is better, God's name or God's form? And Swami went on to give a detailed explanation, but the essence of what Bhagwan said on that occasion is this. He told the girl, Bangaru, if I come to the Anandpur campus and I tell the watchman at the gate, I want to meet the lady who wears a green sari, puts a big bindi, has big eyes, small nose and so on, I am sure the watchman will stand confused. Instead, if I tell him, I want to meet Dr. Mrs. Jayalakshmi Gopinath, then he will immediately take me to her. Similarly, God's name takes you faster to God than His form. Therefore, dear listeners, the importance of chanting the name of the Lord is something which every seeker knows and has experienced, and it can never be overemphasized. One cannot find a better shortcut to God, to His love and mercy, than chanting His name. And in today's bhajan too, we do the same. The bhajan we will be learning today has 5 lines in all. And as always, let us first become familiar with the lyrics, and then we'll move on to the raga, the tala, the meaning of each line of this bhajan. And also in the end, we will have a short conversation with Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao, who is the spiritual coordinator for the state of Andhra Pradesh. He will share the instructions and directions he has received from Bhagwan with respect to bhajan singing. So let's begin now, first with the lyrics.
Bhola Shankara Bhola Shaileshwara Hara Vishwambara Dhara. Bhola Shankara Bhola Surya Chandra Pralayagni Netra Dhara Shakti Sahita Shiva Natana Manohara.
So those were the lyrics, and now let's move on to the interesting part of learning to sing this bhajan. You will now hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line slowly without any musical accompaniments. And Brother Anirudh will follow him after each line. Dear listeners, as you listen to Anirudh, please sing along. I'm sure you will enjoy and maybe get lost in the melody of the bhajan. But please, put your heart and open your voice. Here is the tune.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C Pancham.
Bhola Shankara Bhola.
Bhola Shankara Bhola.
भोला शंकर भोला,
भोला शंकर भोला,
शैलेश्वर हर विश्वंबरधर,
शैलेश्वर हर विश्वंबरधर,
शैलेश्वर हर विश्वंबरधर,
शैलेश्वर हर विश्वंबरधर,
हर भोला शंकर भोला,
हर भोला शंकर भोला,
सूर्य चंद्र प्रलयाग्नि नेत्रधर,
चंद्र प्रलयाग्नि नेत्रधर,
सूर्य चंद्र प्रलयाग्नि नेत्रधर,
सूर्य चंद्र प्रलयाग्नि नेत्रधर,
शक्ति सहित शिव नटन मनोहर,
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 भोला शंकर भोला।
So that was the tune of the bhajan by Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And dear listeners, fortunately I have with me now Anirudh in the studios of Radio Sai, and let's learn a little more from him about the composition of this bhajan. Welcome Anirudh to this program.
Thank you Bishu brother.
So Anirudh, tell us in which raga is this bhajan based?
The raga of this bhajan is Hamsadhwani. This is a Carnatic based raga which is first brought into Carnatic music by Sri Ramaswami Dikshitar. And then it was brought into Hindustani music by Ustad Aman Ali Khan. The Arohana and Avarohana of this raga goes like this.
Sa re ga pa ni sa, sa ni pa ga, re sa.
So there is no ma and dha in this raga.
Yeah, there is no madhyam and dhaivat.
But all are shuddha swaras.
Yeah, it is a pentatonic raga, and
which means it has five swaras.
Five swaras. And this raga is a janyam of Shankarabharanam. This raga is often sung during the beginning of a concert.
Mm-hmm.
And many Ganapati kritis are composed in this raga. And one of them which is very common, and of course everybody would have heard this kirtan, it is composed by Muthuswami Dikshitar, Vatapi Ganapatim.
Okay, yeah, I'll just sing. Everybody is familiar with that.
Yeah, I'll just sing two lines of that.
Vatapi Ganapatim bhajeham, Vatapi Ganapatim bhajeham, Vatapi Ganapatim bhajeham, Varanasyam Varapradam Shri Vatapi Ganapatim bhajeham, Varanasyam Varapradam Shri Vatapi Ganapatim Vaje ho,
fantastic. I think many of us would have heard so many Carnatic concerts begin with this, and it's such a kind of vibrant and energetic raga.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess there are many bhajans too in this raga.
There are many bhajans in this raga. Two bhajans which come to my mind are Mahaganapate
namostute.
And one more is
Jayatu Shiva Natana Shiva.
All our powerful bhajans.
Yeah, very
they
happy.
They start with a bang, kind of.
Yeah, very happy and vibrant.
Yeah, wonderful. So, why don't you sing once again this Bhola Shankara Bhola?
Yeah.
Bhola Shankara Bhola Saileshwara Haraveshwam Varadhara.
Okay, Anirudh, if I may interrupt you here.
Yeah, please.
You mentioned that this raga has this five swaras.
Yeah.
Can I ask you to sing the tune of Bhola Shankara Bhola, but with the swaras?
Yeah, fine. I'll do it.
Bhola Shankara Bhola Sane Paga Pare Gare Gasa Saileshwar Haraveshwam Varadhara Ga 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 Pare Re Ne Re Ne Sa.
Wonderful. I think that is a very beautiful illustration of how the swaras play out in this raga. Thank you very much, Anirudh.
Thank you.
So, dear listeners, that was the raga, Hamsadvani, of Bhola Shankara Bhola. And now let's move on to the rhythm of this bhajan. This bhajan, like many, is based on the 8-bit Kehwa Taal in Hindustani music and Adi Taalam in Carnatic music. And now, we are done with the lyrics, the tune, the raga and the taala of this bhajan. Let's proceed with the bhava aspect, another most important facet in bhajan singing. So let's now explore the meanings of all the words in this bhajan so that we imbibe the underlying feeling expressed in each line of this bhajan. We start with the first line.
Bhola Shankara Bhola.
Bhola Shankara Bhola.
Here the word Bhola is used twice and it means the one who is easily pleased. This is one attribute of Lord Shiva that really endears him to every devotee. The word Shankara is another name of Lord Shiva and it can be split as Sham meaning auspicious or good and Kara meaning to cause. So in this entire line, we praise the Lord who is easy to please. The Lord who showers His blessings with a little bit of devotion, with a little bit of sincere request, the Lord is eager to shower His blessings. So we praise the Lord who is so merciful and the one who is the primary cause of all auspiciousness and goodness. That is the meaning of Bhola Shankara Bhola. Let's move on to the second line.
Saileshwar Haraveshwam Varadhara.
Saileshwar Haraveshwam Varadhara.
Here the first word is Saileshwara. This is again another name of Lord Shiva and this can be split into Shaila and Ishwara. Shaila refers to Shailagiri. Giri means mountain and Shailagiri refers to the mountain Shaila, which is the legendary mountain Kailasha. Shailagiri means mountain Kailasha and according to Indian mythology, Mount Kailasha is considered to be the abode of Lord Shiva and Ishwara means Lord. So Saileshwara refers to the one who is the Lord of the snow-capped Kailasha mountain. While this is the commonly understood meaning, there is an inner significance of hailing the Lord as the one who resides in mountain Kailasha. And Swami said, one can visualize Lord Shiva in Kailasha only when one contemplates on Him in the depths of silence. That is, only when our thoughts and words are as pure as snow and as still and calm as the mountain, one can visualize Lord Shiva. So the meaning of hailing the Lord as Saileshwara means we must still our minds and cleanse our hearts so that it becomes as pure as snow. The second word in this line is Hara, which means to destroy. Now this appellation is often associated with Lord Shiva because according to ancient Indian culture and spirituality, Lord Shiva represents the force that causes the final dissolution of the universe. What it also means is Lord Shiva is the one who annihilates our evil tendencies and our negative traits. Mr. S.V. Giri, one of the former Vice Chancellors of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who is an extremely distinguished personality and a veteran in the Sai fold, in one of his talks he said, "In the Holy Trinity, many people wonder why Lord Shiva chose destruction, because Lord Brahma is the God of creation, Lord Vishnu is the God of sustenance, and Lord Shiva is associated with destruction." He went on to explain, "It is not destroying nature, it is actually destroying that which is not pure, that which is imperfect and undesirable. And we know from our common experience, removing the impure from the pure requires a great amount of discretion. Only a master can have the discretion of removing that which is not good. Only the master who knows to separate out what is good from the bad can be the destroyer of evil. Gold becomes pure only when you burn it. When gold is burnt, the metal doesn't burn. Only the impurity in it burns and gold becomes purer. Only a master can remove the impurities from our heart, and that is the reason why the Lord is hailed as Hara. He takes away our negative tendencies." The third word in this line is Vishwambara Dhara. Now this can be split as Vishwa, Ambara and Dhara. The word Vishwa means universe, Ambara means garment, and Dhara means to wear. Thus the word Vishwambara Dhara means the one who wears the entire universe as his garment. Therefore in this line, Saileshwarahara Vishwambaradhara, we call out to the Lord, who is the one who stills our minds, who is the one who resides in pure hearts. He is the remover of our evil tendencies, and he is the one who wears the entire cosmos as his garment, the one who pervades the entire universe. Let's move on to the next line.
हर भोला शंकर भोला,
हर भोला शंकर भोला.
This is again a repeat of the first line, though sung with a slight variation. And as we saw, in this line we adore the Lord as the one who is the source of all auspiciousness, and the one who is most merciful, the one who gets pleased with our sincere little prayer and devotion. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Surya Chandra Pralayagni Netra Dhara,
Surya Chandra Pralayagni Netra Dhara.
The first word here is Surya, referring to the sun. The second word is Chandra, which means the moon. And the third word is Pralayagni, which can be split as Pralaya and Agni. Pralaya means dissolution, and Agni is the Sanskrit word for fire. This word thus refers to the fire of deluge that consumes the entire universe at the time of its final annihilation. The fourth word is Netra, which means eye, and Dhara, as seen earlier, means to wear. So in this line, Surya Chandra Pralayagni Netra Dhara, we adore the one who wears the sun, the moon and the fire of deluge as his three eyes. Thus this name indicates the three eyes of Lord Shiva. Baba elaborated on the significance of the third eye of Lord Shiva in a discourse in April 1963. Swami said, "The Agni eye is the internal eye which can be opened by the discipline of the yoga. The three-eyed Shiva can see the past, the present and the future. If you have seen a boy of 10 years, you can recall his picture as he was when you saw him, but you cannot see him as he is now or as he will be 10 years from now. But," Baba said, "if you earn the Trinetra vision, you can see the past, the present and the future. You become the master of time and space." That is the meaning of Trinetradhari, Lord Shiva, who has three eyes. At this juncture, it might be apt to recall a profound experience pertaining to this appellation of the Lord, and this is recorded in that famous book, Anyatha Shanam Nasti. Baba, in the yester years, used to take his devotees daily to the banks of Chitravati River in the evenings, and they used to sing bhajans, and he used to materialize things or talk on various topics. And on one such occasion, when the devotees were walking towards the Chitravati River, Swami suddenly disappeared. And as the devotees searched for him, they heard a clapping sound. And when they looked up, they found Swami alerting them and saying, "Hey, I am at the top of the hill. I am on top of the hill." It was around 6 o'clock in the evening and the sun was sinking towards the west and the sky was filled with black clouds. But Swami said to the devotees, "All of you, look at me. I shall now show you the sun." And as the devotees were wondering how it would be possible for them to see the sun because it was already 6 in the evening, the sun had already set, they saw newly rising rays behind Bhagwan's head. The whole sky was filled with blue clouds and the newly rising rays turned red. And this continued. The scene became redder and redder until the whole ambience exuded so much heat that all of them started sweating profusely and they were unable to bear the heat, and the devotees appealed to Bhagwan, "Swami, it is so hot. Swami, it is very hot." And then suddenly the heat subsided. And just as the devotees were settling down after this strange experience, Baba declared, "I shall now show you the moon." And as soon as Baba said this, they saw behind Swami's head the half-unfolded honey-colored rays of the moon, which soon turned white and continued becoming whiter and whiter. The devotees began shivering in the cold. Their teeth began to chatter. It was extremely cold. They implored to Swami, "Swami, it is very cold. Swami, we cannot bear this." And slowly, the cold subsided. And as they continued to wonder what miracle Swami would perform next, Swami now announced, "I shall show you the third eye. Watch it very carefully and attentively." And now, Swami's body itself was not visible. Instead, what was visible was his head, which was gigantic. It was as if stretched across the entire sky, and the devotees were stupefied. They just stared at the sky, totally dazed. And on Swami's forehead, between his two eyebrows, they saw an opening. An orifice appeared there and fiery and fuming sparks began to come out of that opening. The devotees were dazzled by the brilliance of those sparks that were coming out of Bhagwan's forehead. And as they watched this, they were scared. The author, Mrs. Vijay Kumari, who has written this, she says, "More than fear for ourselves, we were worried about what might be happening to Swami because the sparks just continued to gush out. When I looked back, we found that many had fallen down. They were unconscious. They could not take that energy, that heat. We did not know what made them faint. And we became more and more scared. We looked up, we could not find Swami anywhere. And we were feeling lost and not knowing what to do. We began to weep. As we were weeping and crying, not knowing how to handle the situation, suddenly we found the same familiar, laughing, joking Swami in our midst. And then Swami materialized vibhuti and applied it on our foreheads so that we can come back to normalcy after that really strange and blissful experience. And as all the devotees walked back to Prashantinilayam Mandir, all the devotees continued to experience the bliss even the next day and for days to come. And when they asked Swami about it, he said, "All of you have been praying to have a glimpse of this third eye from many past lives. In order to answer your prayers, today I gave you this special darshan. And mind you, I did not show you even a thousandth part of that brilliance, but you could not withstand even this. Whatever you are experiencing now is a result of your prayers. The spectacle that you saw is something which is vouchsafed to only very few." Dear listeners, Lord Sai is Lord Shiva. So in this line, "Surya Chandra Pralayagni Netradhara," we extol the mighty Lord who has the three eyes of the sun, the moon, as well as the fire of deluge. He is truly the master of time. He is the one who is aware of the past, the present, the future. He is the one who is the controller of this cosmos. Let's now move on to the last line of this bhajan.
Shakti sahita Shiva natana manohara.
Shakti sahita Shiva natana manohara.
The first word here is Shakti, which in this context refers to Mother Parvati, the consort of Lord Shiva. And Shakti represents the energy principle that pervades the entire universe. The second word, Sahita, literally means along with. And the third word is Shiva, which means all auspicious. So this phrase, Shakti Sahita Shiva, means Shiva who is always found along with Shakti. The fourth word is Natana, which refers to dance. And the fifth word is Manohara, which means one who captivates the heart. Thus the phrase Natana Manohara refers to Lord Shiva who captures the hearts of all by his wonderful spellbinding dance. Now talking about dance, I'm reminded of a beautiful incident during one convocation drama by the students. Burakatha, a traditional folk art from the state of Andhra Pradesh, was included as a medium of introducing the mythological scenes that were there in the drama. And as the practice sessions went on, the boys realized that they were not familiar with the dance that went along with Burakatha. Moreover, the teachers also could not get the right trainer in time. And in one practice session at Trai Vrindavan, Swami's abode in Bangalore, when Swami happened to be there, he asked these boys who were singing the Burakatha to dance. And the student danced the way they had been taught by one of the teachers. The expert teacher had not arrived. And after observing them for some time, Swami said, "Your footwork is not correct." And Baba stood up from the swing, the chula that he was sitting on, lifted his robe just enough for everyone around to see his feet, and then, holding his robe, he began to dance. Everybody was stunned. Just imagine Swami dancing to teach his boys. Mr. Narsimurthy, the former warden of the Vrindavan campus, was present on that occasion and he vividly recalls this incident. He says, "Thousands of dedicated dancers all over the world pray to Lord Nataraja before their performances. And perhaps some might even have cherished the distant thought of learning this art from the divine master of dance. But here was the master himself dancing to teach his children unasked. There were only a few fortunate people as audience when little Satya danced as Rishyendramani, as we read in Bhagavan's biography, when as a little boy he danced in the play as the dancer Rishyendramani and he did amazing feats. But here, we, the few of us," Narsimurthy sir says, "were blessed to be there on that day to see the Lord whom millions adore dance just to teach his chosen ones to dance." And Mr. Narsimurthy continues. He says, "Swami gracefully danced the first few steps in front of the swing, the chula, and then moved into the adjacent round hall. The boys followed him dancing in step, and Swami completed a full circle and returned to where he was seated. It was pure magic. Swami's orange robe reflected in the polished white floor there, and his feet glided effortlessly, weaving a circle around the reflection of the chandeliers suspended 20 feet above. His smiling visage, crowned by lustrous hair, was tilting left and right in perfect harmony to the beat of his own feet. Words," he says, "can never do justice to the vision that Swami bestowed on us on that day. And to top it all, a few days later, Bhagwan did it again in the interview room in Prashanthi Nilayam. And this was again to correct the wrong steps of the boys who are performing in the drama." That is the story of Sai Nataraja. What a spectacle that must have been. He is the Lord who is energizing the electrons and protons in the atom to continue to dance in harmony since the beginning of creation, and now even physically dances to teach us the basic steps of movement. No wonder he is adored as Manohara, the one who enthralls our hearts. Hence in this line, Shakti Sahita Shiva Natana Manohara, we extol the Lord who is inseparable from the primal energy, the Shakti principle. He is the spectacular Lord orchestrating and energizing every moment in this cosmos. So that is the meaning of this last line. And with this, dear listeners, we are done with understanding the beautiful meaning latent in this vibrant Shiva Bhajan. And now, let's move on to the next part of this Bhajan classroom. We will listen to the complete version of this Bhajan as it is sung by Bhagwan students in Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. And as you listen to this, dear listeners, please sing along.
Bhola Shankar Bhola, Bhola Shankar Bhola, Shaineshwar Har Vishwambhar Har, Shaineshwar Har Vishwambhar Har, Har Bhola Shankar Bhola, Surya Chandra Pralayagni Netra Dhara, Chandra Pralayagni Netra Dhara, Shakti Sahita Shiva Natana Manohara, Shakti Sahita Shiva Natana Manohara, Shankar Bhola, Shaineshwar Har Vishwambhar Har, Har Bhola Shankar Bhola, Surya Chandra Pralayagni Netra Dhara,
and now, dear listeners, in the last lap of this program, let's listen to certain nuances of bhajan singing from Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao. This is an excerpt of a conversation I had with him in October 2012. Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao has been blessed with innumerable opportunities of divine interaction. He has staged more than 40 dramas in front of Bhagwan, and for many years he's been the spiritual coordinator of the Sai organization in Andhra Pradesh, and he has been guiding the bhajan movement in the state. So let's listen to his words of wisdom about bhajan singing.
If we go into the details, shed your ego that you are a good bhajan leader. First of all, forget that you are a good bhajan leader. You should not have that ego. Bhagavan has given a beautiful definition for ego. E-G-O. Ego means if you have ego, edging God out. So, if you are removing God from your heart, how can you sing a bhajan? So, you should not have that ego. And select a bhajan which will suit your voice and musical talent and range of your voice. And by heart the lyric.
Yes, in Prashanti, boys never see a book.
No, in Prashanti boys, they are examples for devotion. When I composed the bhajan also, even I never got happiness when great singers like S.B. Balasubramanian and all these people sang my lyrics. But I got the greatest happiness when our boys sang my compositions.
In front of Bhagwan.
Yes. By heart the lyric of the bhajan. Be sure that every syllable and its correct pronunciation. Understand and contemplate on its meaning. Understand the raga which will set the mood and practice all the fine nuances correctly. And meditate on the qualities of the deity. For this, I would advise all the bhajan leaders to read the Vahinis. If you want to sing about Lord Krishna, read Bhagavata Vahini. If you want to sing about Lord Rama, read Ramakatha Rasavahini, not once, at least 10 times. Here I would like to quote one experience of a disciple of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Once he questioned Paramahamsa Ramakrishna, "I have been worshipping Lord Rama for quite some time, but how do I know that I am highly devoted to Lord Rama? How can I judge my devotion?" Then Paramahamsa Ramakrishna told, what a great explanation is given. See, if you feel that Lord Rama is your chosen deity, if you are doing your household work, or if you are engaged in your office work, or if you are engaged in taking your food, or doing anything, in whatever state you are, if Rama, that beautiful name is heard by you, immediately you should forget yourself. Whatever work you are doing, you must forget yourself. Your eyes should close, tears should roll down your cheeks, and the beautiful, magnificent form of Lord Rama should appear before your eyes at least for a second, then you are a devotee.
If you are not having this experience, then
you can't call yourself a devotee. The moment you hear Rama, you should forget yourself. So that is the state which every bhajan leader should expect to reach. And meditate on the qualities of the deity which are described in Bhagavata Vahini, Ramakatha Rasavahini and all. And most important thing is visualize the bhajan. How to visualize the bhajan? Close your eyes. Think about the bhajan. Think about the scene described in the bhajan. And imagine before your eyes that scene. And meditate on that scene. And you will be able to sing perfectly with feeling. I'll tell you a small example. Think that Yashoda is standing and observing from a distance Krishna playing there. Then she calls him with all her love. Yadunandana Gopala. Because he is at a distance.
Yes.
So she is calling.
Yashoda is calling.
Krishna came running, but he stood at a distance. He is near to Yashoda, but is still at a distance. Then she calls him, Jaya Vrindavana Lola. Now she need not shout. He is not far away. He is very near to her. She was very, very happy. He was very close. Krishna is very close. Then, Jaya Murali Ganavilola. And he jumps and sits on her lap. Then she fondling Krishna, she says, Gopala, Gopala, Krishna Gopala. She sings like a lullaby. So, unless you imagine and visualize the scene, you will not be able to bring the required bhava in your bhajan. That's very important. Visualize the scene. Imagine the scene. Forget yourself observing the scene. And the next stage is, when once you have visualized, is practice the song, practice the bhajan at least 100 times.
100 times?
Yes. Bhagavan himself has told. What he says? Why practicing 100 times? Swami says very clearly, sing 25 times, you will understand the tune and the lyric perfectly. Sing another 25 times, you will be perfect in your singing with every small articulation. Sing another 25 times, the whole bhajan will be imprinted in your mind. Sing another 25 times, the bhajan gets imprinted not only in your heart, but in every cell of your body. Then only you can sing your bhajan perfectly, with bhava.
That bhajan and that singer should have become one.
Yes.
By that time.
Yes, yes. This is what actually Bhagavan has told the singers. And another very important thing, a bhajan leader should always keep in his mind. We think that bhajan is a spiritual activity. Alright, bhajan is a spiritual activity. It has got nothing to do with my day-to-day life. But your day-to-day life has also effect on your bhajan singing. Never sing a bhajan just because you like it. It must suit your voice. That is one thing. Never talk harshly. That will have effect on your bhajan. If you talk to anyone harshly, then finally, when you come and sit in the bhajan, the effect of that harsh speaking will be on your bhajan. Never quarrel with others it will have effect on your bhajan. Never argue with others, it will have effect on your bhajan. Never develop animosity towards others, that will have effect on your bhajan. Never get discouraged when you don't get a chance to sing, that will have effect on your bhajan. Never pay heed to the appreciation for your singing, that will have effect on your bhajan. All the above points will undermine the bhava in your bhajan.
So we are saying, it's so important to develop that purity.
Yes, what is that? Then what is that you have to do? These are don'ts for a bhajan leader. What are the do's for the bhajan leader is cultivate humility. Respect your parents and elders. Read regularly the Sai literature, particularly Vahinis of Bhagwan. Be regular in pranayama and physical exercise. It will
help to open up the voice.
Not only that, your breathing.
You'll have more control on your breath.
More control on your breath. Because a sound body will help you sing well. Sing every bhajan as if you are singing for the first time. Never think that, yes, I know this bhajan, I sang many times, so let me sing. It is very easy for me to sing. No, be careful. Sing your bhajan as if you are singing for the first time. So much care you must take.
That much of enthusiasm we must have.
Very important things. Be ever smiling. It will have effect on your bhajan. I quote a beautiful quotation which my father used to tell me. Smile a while you smile another smiles, so on there would be miles and miles of smiles.
And so, I think just like when we speak and if you are smiling, it shows in our speech. I think even when you are singing a bhajan and if there is that joy within,
correct,
then it will show in our singing.
Oh yes. So that is very much necessary for a bhajan leader. Maintain silence before and after the bhajan. Particularly, it is necessary for a bhajan leader. Never talk. Because the bliss that you have earned while you are in the bhajan, it will be lost when you talk. You lose your energy and you lose your bliss, everything. Particularly a bhajan leader. And feel Bhagawan's presence always with you. And I repeat once again, when you sing a bhajan, think that every word that you sing is being heard by Bhagwan. Feel the presence of the Lord always. It may be the experience of many people, when you sing, and a particular note, which normally we enjoy, a flower falls from the Bhagwan's photo. How does it happen at that particular moment? Unless it is His grace. So be cautious that Bhagwan is hearing every word that you sing. Then you will be one of the best singers. Bhajan leader is the one who can take all the devotees with him, who can give them spiritual experience, who can inspire the devotees to follow the spiritual path. Such a great responsibility God has given us. It is our nisatkarma which we might have done that we are born as bhajan leaders.
And now you have the opportunity to actually work on that and even build on that.
Correct. Bhagwan loved bhajan leaders very much. One of the singers from Bangalore, Mr. Devarajan, he told me one of his experiences. Once, he was singing in Kodaikanal, in Shai Shruti. And finally, after the bhajan, they sat. And Bhagwan was serving them prasadam. And when he was serving, a little bit of prasadam trickled and fell on the shirt of Mr. Devarajan. Bhagwan said, "Wait." And Bhagwan went inside, brought his kerchief, and wiped out.
Oh my God.
And Devarajan, with tears in his eyes, told me, what a love Bhagwan has got for the bhajan leaders. We should be grateful to Bhagwan that he has made us bhajan leaders. Let us realize this fact and let us completely dedicate ourselves to bhajan singing so that everyone can be inspired to follow bhajans.
So that was an excerpt of a conversation with Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao, who has been involved in the cultural activities of the state of Andhra Pradesh very deeply and very beautifully for several decades. With this, dear listeners, we have come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you found this useful. Please do share your feedback and suggestions for this program. As always, you can write to listener
at radiosai.org.
Sai Ram, you are listening to an episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This was first aired on November 29, 2012, as a live program on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony as part of our Thursday live programs. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.